Anyway, I just have to confess, I am just on cloud nine. It's been 1 week since I proposed to the love of my life. It's been 1 week, and I am just on cloud nine. I'm so happy. It was the most beautiful day. And, man, there's just something about when you're engaged where it's just like you're glowing. And I just feel like I'm glowing everywhere I go. And actually, she's right there. Krista Lee. Sorry to call you out. Yeah, I'm Boo-less no more. I know people were interceding and praying for me. My parents would wake up every morning at 5 a.m. for 3 years because they prayed that I would find an amazing wife. And when I told them that I finally had a girlfriend, all it took was a picture of her. And they're like, I'm sold. She's beautiful. All the prayers are answered. Hallelujah. Chuyo. And they're so happy. And so I am equally, if not more, probably more happy than my parents. I am more happy than my parents. And so, yeah, thank you for your prayers. It's just been an exciting season. And I'm excited to share the word of the Lord with you today. But why don't we open up our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. We go in OT up in this place. 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. This is where that epic background music might come into play, but don't turn it on. Okay. Starting from verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. Verse 6, and she said to the king, the report was true that I had heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I had heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. Let me open us up in prayer. Father, I thank you today, Lord. You're releasing a revelation, Lord, that's going to activate every son and daughter of this house to fulfill the mission that you have set before us. And so I pray even right now, Lord, that you would just open our hearts to the revelation of truth that you're releasing through this passage. I pray that this passage would become alive in our hearts, that we would gain from it the wisdom that you are releasing in this hour. I pray, Lord, that you would use me as a vessel. Forsake all the foolishness that comes out of my mouth. I pray they would forget it. But I pray your words would be what remains in their thoughts and in their hearts. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And this scripture is powerful. I don't know if you see it just from reading it, but I'm going to unpack it for you, okay? So this is the queen of Sheba. And one thing you have to know about the queen of Sheba, there's two things that I want you to know. The first one is that she did not know God, okay? She was a secular queen. She did not know God. And the second was, this queen was bougie, okay? This queen was bougie, meaning, this is Urban Dictionary right here. This queen loved extravagance, right? She loved riches. When she came to visit Solomon, she came with camels, spices, gold, and precious stones. It's like the equivalent of going on a short trip and bringing all your jewelry, right? All your goods. She was that bougie that wherever she traveled, she brought her riches with her, okay? She was a woman of great extravagance, aka she was a diva, right? She was not easily impressed. She was not easily impressed. But something about her experience in the midst of Solomon, in his palace, amidst his servants and everything that was around her, something about her experience with Solomon, it said, left her breathless. Have you ever been breathless? Have you ever seen something or experienced something so beautiful, so profound, that you're left literally without breath? You know, a few months ago, I went to Utah, right? Not to go to a Mormon church or anything, but Utah contains Zion National Park. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or been to Zion National Park, but this is a place that will leave you breathless. This is one area called the Narrows. And basically, it's like a movie scene, right? There's like a body of water just curving throughout canyons. And these canyons go high beyond anything you can see. And they're like red, gorgeous red. And there's something about being in the presence of such beauty where it just leaves you breathless, right? Have you ever been breathless? Honestly, when God first opened my eyes to Krista, I was breathless, right? You know, for those of you who are married, when you first saw the beauty of your significant other, you were left without breath. You were breathless, right? This is what the Queen of Sheba experienced. When she was in the midst of Solomon, she was literally breathless. So the question is, what left her breathless? Well, the Bible says Solomon's wisdom, right? She asked a bunch of questions, and Solomon just knew all the answers. And the wisdom that Solomon was sharing really impressed her. But you know what? A lot of people, when you read this passage, that's where we stop. We say, Solomon's wisdom left her breathless. Solomon's wisdom is what impressed the Queen of Sheba. But if you look to verse 4, it says, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, the cupbearers, and the burnt offerings that were made at the house of the Lord, then she was breathless. It wasn't just Solomon's wisdom. It was the house. It was the food. It was the officials, the servants, the cupbearers, the clothing, the offerings set at the temple of the Lord. These are all the things that left her breathless. Basically, it was like an episode of Cribs, right? You've seen an episode of Cribs, right? And you go to these extravagant houses and it just blows you away. This is what left her breathless. And what she saw in the end of the story led her to bless the Lord. This woman, this queen, who was a heathen, all right? Let's just call it for what it is. She did not know God. But when she experienced the wisdom of Solomon and everything around her in Solomon's palace, it led her to bless God. Solomon and his household crafted something so beautiful that it led someone who did not know God into a revelation of God. My sermon title today is Beauty Will Save the World. It might be because I'm in a romantic season. I just feel like preaching about beauty. But what this story presents to us is that it wasn't just Solomon's wisdom. It was everything that he crafted in his household, the beautiful palace, the food. It was all those things that led someone who did not know God into a revelation of God. Let me tell you about the present age that we live in. We live in a time where Christianity is despised. How many of you guys feel it, right? Even with the passing of the new laws with gay marriage, right? Even I'm talking to some of my friends in the workplace and startups. And even if you just profess you're a Christian, whether you weigh on any issue or not, you're automatically seen as a bigot. In this time, Christianity is mostly despised here in America and all around the world. And in the past, believers have spent a great deal of time trying to evangelize by trying to persuade people with truth, right? You're saying the truth of the gospel and you're trying to persuade people into a revelation of Jesus. But what it's ended up making us look like is car salesmen. And as we're talking about missions, I believe God is releasing another strategy to reach the lost. You see, people are jaded with Christianity in the season. But I believe in this season, God is calling the church to do more than just persuade with truth. He's calling the church to attract with beauty. Let me say that again. In this season, God is doing more with the church. He's doing more than just trying to persuade people with truth. He's calling the church to attract with beauty. It's not enough that we're saying the right message. It matters how we say it. Okay? And I'll give you a great example. You know, I told you that I'm engaged, and so I'm going to talk about that a lot. When I first decided to pursue Krista, It wasn't that I had this list of qualities, right? Man, she's a hard worker. She's admin, and I'm really weak in that area. She's really kind, compassionate, merciful. It wasn't a list that initially drew me to her. You know what initially drew me to Krista? It was her beauty. How many relationships do you know is like, I logically think through, like, I logically thought, okay, she's this, 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 that meets me perfectly, we're compatible, bam, all right, I'm gonna do it. That's a logically informed decision. No, it was her beauty that attracted me. And how many of you guys in Christianity, in your faith with Jesus, was it a logical decision? No, it was the beauty of Christ that attracted you to him, to follow him, to forsake all that you have. It's the beauty that attracted you. You know, Pastor Benjamin spoke on it a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 13 about the treasure buried in the field. You know, we're expecting people to buy the field and dig for the treasure when they haven't even seen the beauty of the treasure. What I'm proposing to you today is that instead of trying to persuade the world that Jesus is good, we just need to reveal the beauty of Jesus. And if people would see the beauty of Jesus, if people would see what we see, then they would sell all that they have and follow Jesus. This is the mission at hand. Beauty is a powerful force. And when I'm talking about beauty, what I'm talking about is attractiveness, right? When you see something beautiful, you're just attracted to it. You're drawn to it, right? True beauty points us towards what is true and good. And in an age where beauty gets thrown around left and right, there's a big distinction between vain beauty and true beauty. And Pope Benedict XVI gave this awesome quote. I'm going to read it for you. Too often, the beauty that is thrust upon us is illusory and deceitful, superficial and blinding, leaving the onlooker dazed. Authentic beauty, however, unlocks the yearning of the human heart, the profound desire to know, to love, to go towards the other, to reach for the beyond. If we acknowledge that beauty touches us intimately, that it wounds us, that it opens our eyes, then we rediscover the joy of seeing, of being able to grasp the profound meaning of our existence. What I'm proposing to you today is if you trace beauty back to its original source, you will always find God. If you always trace true beauty back to its original source, you will find God. And you know what? You don't need to plaster the name of Jesus over everything. If you present something that is truly beautiful, it will lead people to revelation of God. You know, in college, I was listening to the radio back when I was a little heathenish, you know? I was listening to the secular radio, and this song came on. It was Bruno Mars, right? You know what song I'm talking about? And something, I was just listening to this, and I was just driving, and all of a sudden, a tear just fell down my eye. And then all of a sudden, I just started weeping, right? I was like, and I don't know what came over me. Later, you know, it's a beautifully composed piece of music, but later I realized what the words were saying. When I see your face, it's not a thing that I would change, because you're amazing just the way you are. And this secular artist, who probably has no idea who Jesus is singing this song that's not about God. But in that car, I'm weeping at this beautiful composition of music. The intent wasn't to reveal Jesus, but he crafted something beautiful that led me into a revelation of God. This is what we're talking about here. When we release true beauty, it will always point towards back towards God. And so I want us to learn and draw some principles from this story about the Queen of Sheba encountering Solomon. And this is the main point of my message. We are able to cultivate beauty through creativity, excellence, and integrity. Okay? We're able to cultivate beauty wherever we are, whether you're a teacher, whether you're in the startup, whether you're a garbage man, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a pastor or a preacher. We're able to cultivate true beauty through creativity, excellence, and integrity. And so I'm going to talk about that today. The first thing, creativity. I mentioned that the Queen of Sheba was extremely bougie, right? This queen, she was highly exposed to extravagance and riches. She was the kind of woman that's been there, done there, seen everything, gone to the nine wonders of the world, tasted the finest foods of all the land, wears the best clothes, has the best perfume, drives a Jaguar, right? This woman has experienced extravagance and riches beyond anything that anyone could have imagined. Yet what she saw in Solomon's temple left her breathless. It was something that she had never seen or experienced before. In fact, the Bible says it was beyond anything she expected. In verse 7, it says, the half was not told to me. Meaning that the reputation that went forth, it was beyond anything she ever could have imagined. She saw something new and fresh. Solomon and his household did something new and creative. They crafted something that the world had not seen before. The food must have been creatively prepared. You know, how many of you guys watch MasterChef, right? How many of you guys watch those cooking shows on the Food Network, which is pretty much lust, right? I'm just kidding. But when you're watching these cooking shows, not only does the food look delicious, it's not just about the taste, it's about the presentation. And what I imagine in Solomon's household, not only was the food the finest of the land, but the way that it was prepared, right? And you know a dish is really good when you don't know how to eat it? You know what I'm saying? Like sauce is smeared here and you don't know what to do. Like that's the kind of food that was presented. It was food that she had never seen before. The cooks in Solomon's palace cooked creative and innovative dishes that led Sheba to this experience of God. The clothes must have been like the highest fashion of the land, right? You know, right now we're in hipster land and, you know, people wearing flannels, growing out beards, wearing boots, right? But what was the fashion of the land? What was it? What was trending? They were doing something new with fashion. Sheba was impressed with the clothes on all of the servants. And the house must have been creatively designed, right? We're in an office space right now. But can you just dream in our new building? What if this is just so creatively and innovatively designed that when people walk in, it's like, I just feel God in this place, right? They crafted a house that impressed Sheba so much. It was creative. It was new. It was innovative. Creativity brings something fresh to the table, right? And creativity is necessary for every part of our lives. It tackles problems and finds solutions that no one's ever seen before. You know, creativity is necessary in the field of medicine. Some of the greatest advances in technology and medicine have come because people have thought outside of the box. Right? With innovations in vaccines for cancer and AIDS, it's because people had the creativity to think outside the box and do something that's never done before. How many of you guys remember your teachers from elementary school? Which ones stick out the most? The ones that were creative, right? Creativity leaves a lasting impact, a lasting impression. And what I want to say is creativity is absolutely necessary in every industry. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor. Doesn't matter if you're a CEO. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a mom, right? Whatever you are, creativity is necessary. One of my favorite quotes is by Henry Ford. And he said this, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. That's funny, right? Henry Ford tapped into a creativity that looked beyond what people thought they needed. And it reached a place in their hearts where he was able to tap into what people wanted. But they didn't even know they wanted it. That's what true creativity does. It brings something new to the table and people have this revelation. I didn't even know I wanted that. But I want it and I need it now, right? That's what creativity does. I think Steve Jobs did an excellent job of this, right? Steve Jobs, the late and the great. He created a product that we didn't even know that we wanted. Who knew that they wanted to go on the internet, on their phone, listen to music at the same time, do GPS, and then play two dots, right? Steve Jobs just knew, even before people knew that they wanted it, that's what creativity does. One of my good friends, John Boyles, he created something called the Burrito Bomber. And basically what it does is it's a mobile app. And when you want a burrito from Chipotle, this little drone helicopter will fly a burrito to you and drop it on a little tiny parachute, right? Like, what's the point of that, right? What's the point of a burrito bomber when you could just order it and go to the restaurant? But doesn't it draw you to who he is? Doesn't it make you think, this guy is creative, and I just want to know more about this guy, right? And you know what my greatest pet peeve is? It's people who say, I'm not creative. I just feel like the spirit of slap come upon my hand when I hear people say that. I'm not creative. I guarantee you, if you give any little child a piece of paper and a box of crayons, they will create something that will blow your mind, right? We all have this innate ability for creativity ever since we were young. In fact, when God created Adam, he tasked him to name every single creature on the planet. Can you imagine how much creativity that takes? I would not be able to hang. I would say dog one, dog two, dog three. But Adam creatively named every single creature in existence. Doesn't that blow your mind? How was he able to do that? Not just because he was tapped and sourced with the greatest creator of all time. It's because he was made in the image of the greatest creator of all time. I want to tell you that you were created to create, that creativity exists in you. And the greatest challenge as we grow up is to remain childlike while forsaking childishness. That'll preach alone, huh? Come on, that's some heavy revy. The greatest challenge as we grow up is to remain childlike in our ability to dream, to wonder, to think up, to vision, while forsaking childishness. Why can't the next great medical breakthrough come from a believer? Why can't the next great song of a generation come from a believer that not only Christians just like, but that the whole world appreciates? Why can't the next great innovation in technology, you know, I'm believing for hoverboards, right? You've seen them Back to the Future. Why can't the next great innovation of technology or transportation, why can't it come from a believer? We are tapped into the greatest source of creativity, and not only that, we are made in his image. I'm here to tell you that creativity is within you and it's necessary wherever you are, whatever that you're doing. Now, the second thing we see in the story, excellence, right? Excellence. The excellence in Solomon's household blew the queen away. The house was built excellently, right? It wasn't just, I mean, I love kids, but the stuff they create, right, it's not really practical, right, or excellent, right? If you ask them to build you like a little, you know, like a wooden birdhouse, I think birds are going to die in there, right? It's not necessarily excellent. It might be creative, but Solomon's household was both creative and excellent, meaning that every dimension was perfectly aligned. Every beam was perfectly placed. Everything about the household was built excellently. The food, you know, I've seen creative food before, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't taste good, right? The food was prepared excellently. And this is my favorite, the servants, the way that they served blew the Queen of Sheba away. The way that they walked, the way that they talked, the way that they carried themselves was so excellent. They were so excellent at what they were doing that the queen was blown away. And one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Joseph. Why? Because no matter where Joseph was placed, But wherever Joseph was placed, he was excellent at what he did, right? He was sold into slavery and he was the most excellent slave, right? He was better than all the other slaves. He was thrown into prison. And he was the most excellent prisoner. He was admin in that prison. He was putting together systems and ideas to make the prison run a lot smoother. And what did that excellent do? It attracted people to Joseph and eventually led him to be second in command over all of Egypt. Excellence will bring about influence. I got a chance to go to Cambodia back in 2011. And there's this amazing ministry called Bloom. And what they do is they take human sex trafficking survivors and they give them an education and they teach them a craft. And their particular craft was cupcakes. And so they would get all these women who are victims of sex trafficking, these survivors, these heroes, and they would train them how to make these cupcakes, these little tiny beautiful cupcakes. But the quality of the cupcakes they were producing was so excellent that royalty from Cambodia would come through their cupcake shop. And it's not like it was known that these are sex trafficking survivors, these are heroes. No, just the excellence alone of their cupcakes brought about royalty from all over Cambodia. That's the kind of excellence I'm talking about. And what I really firmly believe is that the church has rationalized its lack of excellence with, it's the heart that matters. We've rationalized that, you know what? God sees the heart, bro. It doesn't matter if what you're doing isn't great. Right? It doesn't matter if what the world sees you're doing, it doesn't matter if it's subpar, it doesn't matter, it's the heart that matters. But you know what? I agree. Excellence to God is not just about being the best. It's about being your best. But you can't tell me that your best doesn't impress the world. I believe that when you truly give your best, your most excellent, I believe it's not going to be subpar with the world's standards. We are above that. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. I believe your best, your excellence will be noticed. It will be on par, if not more, on par with the world. Why shouldn't it be? Right? Why shouldn't it be? Proverbs 22 says, excellence will bring you before kings and queens. And you know, before Kanye West became Kanye West, he was a humble beat maker who had big dreams and aspirations to work with these great artists like Jay-Z and Nas. And what brought Kanye into relationship with the Jay-Zs and the Nas's and the great rappers of the time was his excellence. He was just excellent at what he did. He was hungry. He was humble. He's a little bit different now. Y'all need to pray for him, fast for him. But back then, his excellence brought him before the pioneers of hip-hop in that era. Excellence will bring you before kings and queens. Would you believe me if I told you that there was a time when the church was the driving force of culture? When the church was the prototype for creativity and excellence? When people thought, man, I need some inspiration, or I need to see something that's just excellently done, people used to look at the church. The art that was coming out was the best art in the world. The songs that were coming out was the genre of the time. You have to realize church used to be the driving force of culture because of their creativity and excellence. But I feel in our time, what we produce is only relevant to other Christians. Why do we have a subsection, Christian music or gospel music? It's because the world doesn't care to hear the things that we're producing. The creativity and the excellence doesn't attract the world that it was meant to reach. I believe in this season, in this era, God is calling the church to take up the mantle of creativity and excellence, not just so we could be relevant in Christian circles, but to influence the world. What if the music that we put out was equally respected and adored, not just by the Christian community, but by the unsaved world? What if the documentaries, you know, I got a thing about Christian movies. I'm just going to go on a rant right now. I think Christian movies have great, they've come a long way. And they have a great message behind it. But if you go on Rotten Tomatoes or any critic site, anyone who sees a Christian movie, I have not seen one that's higher than 30% on the tomato meter. And you know what? They're great movies for us believers to watch. But no one else wants to watch it. It's sappy. It's preachy. I believe we can do better. I believe we could create movies that are both biblically sound. AKA, let's not talk about Noah here or Exodus. I believe that we could create movies, films, music that's adored by the world, where people could see the creativity and the excellence. And just like the Queen of Sheba, be led into a revelation of God, even if we're not saying, Jesus! Beauty has that effect. Beauty has that power. We've given up this mantle, and God is calling us to take it back. And the last thing we see in the story, integrity. Just got to pause after you say integrity. It's just a deep, heavy word. The Bible says everything the queen heard about Solomon and his household was true and more. Integrity is unbroken completeness. It's wholeness. It means who you are in the public is the same as who you are in the private. It means who you are by reputation is who you are in reality. And what we see in the story is the queen had heard these tales about Solomon. These amazing things about his riches, about his wisdom. And when she finally visited Solomon, it said, everything I heard was true and more. That's integrity. Integrity provides a place for creativity and excellence to thrive. Without integrity, creativity and excellence is vain. But when it's founded on integrity, on complete brokenness, on wholeness, then it provides a place for creativity and excellence to thrive. You know, I just got to give a shout out to Jeremy Lin. He's fulfilling every Asian's dream of being an NBA star, even though our genes say we can't. He did it. He proved us. We're rooting for him. But one thing I love about Jeremy Lin is not only is he excellent at what he does, and people might argue that he hasn't been playing super great this last season, but I believe he will. But Jeremy Lin, one thing people know about him is that he's a man of integrity. What he professes on court, he says he's a Christian. And his private life, they're in alignment. And there's nothing worse than a breach of integrity. See, a breach of integrity, even if you create the most excellent things, even if you create the most creative things, a breach of integrity crumbles everything that you produce. Lance Armstrong, right? Lance Armstrong, the greatest cyclist of our time. But what? We find out that he had a breach of integrity. He was taking steroids. And what does it do? It crumbles everything that he's done. And all we see is that incompleteness. Tiger Woods, right? John Jones, MMA, if you guys follow mixed martial arts. All these people who had excellence, even creativity, but because of a lack of integrity, everything they do falls and crumbles. Have you ever met someone whose inner beauty does not match up with their external beauty? Right? You just think, oh man, this person's really beautiful. I'm really attracted to this person. But as soon as you have a conversation with them, it's like, whoo, it just doesn't match up. This is what integrity is about. That what's on the outside, what's on the external, matches up with what's on the inside. Powerful and effective ministries have crumbled because of a lack of integrity. It is absolutely necessary. Joseph, right? When he was in Potiphar's palace and he was rising in power, he had a chance to sleep with Potiphar's wife, who must have been stunningly gorgeous, and no one would have known about it. But Joseph had the integrity, even at the cost of his job and being in prison. He decided, I'm going to be a man of integrity, that what people see on the outside is the same when no one is watching. This is what creativity and excellence needs to be built on. Integrity is what distinguishes true beauty from vain beauty. And true beauty, my friends, is what changes the world. I want to close by talking about reigning. Now, God's command to Adam was to have dominion over all of the earth. And we relinquish that authority and dominion as soon as sin came into our lives. But Jesus on the cross took back that dominion and released authority to us. And so the mandate's the same ever since the beginning of time for man. It's to reign and have dominion over the earth. God is calling believers to reign in every realm of life, whether it's in your workplace or your family or your studies, wherever it is, God is calling you to reign. But believers often misinterpret what it means to reign. Reigning is not about ownership. Reigning is about influence. What's the difference? You can own something, but still have no influence over everything you own. I'll give you a great example. Don't boo me, okay? I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan. Okay, I'm glad you guys didn't boo me, okay. And Kobe Bryant, I would argue, is one of the greatest NBA players of all time. Help me, Lord. But one thing I can say about the Lakers, why I feel they're a little bit ineffective, is because Kobe Bryant has more influence than any owner, than any coach besides Phil Jackson that have come to lead that team. You see, managers and coaches have come through, but none of them had more influence than Kobe Bryant. See, reigning is not about ownership. It's not about exercising authority over the people under you. It's about having influence. And you can have influence without having ownership. But you can have ownership without having influence. When God is telling us to reign in life, he's telling us to build influence. Now, we all envy, when we hear the story about Solomon, we all envy the position of the Solomons in our lives. But we fail to realize that in this story, the servants were reigning just as equally. The cupbearers were reigning just as equally as Solomon. The cooks were reigning just. The architects, all these people that built the house, that prepared the food, that prepared this magnificent place, they were on the same level as Solomon. They were reigning in their domain. They were reigning in their realm. And because of what they created, they were able to influence the Queen of Sheba and lead her into a revelation of God. Let me tell you, you don't need to be the CEO of the next startup. You don't need to be the main doctor of your hospital or the principal of your school to reign and have influence in your realm. Wherever you're at, whether it's from low to high, all of those places you can reign in and have influence and lead people into an experience of the beauty of God. Even the most ordinary, quote unquote, and mundane things have the power to transform and influence the world. What I want to tell you is wherever you are in life, whatever you're doing, it's significant. What if the cooks, just for whatever reason, that day decided not to cook the most excellent or creative dish? And even though the Queen of Sheba heard all this wisdom and saw the beautiful palace and saw these amazing servants, what if she took a bite of that steak and it just did not taste good? I believe she wouldn't have that full revelation of God. What if the servants came through and, you know, they just happened not to tie their shoes that day. And when they're walking up to the queen, they tripped on a shoelace and all the porridge goes on the queen, right? One breach of excellence or creativity from any of those pieces would have ruined the revelation of God that God released through the beauty of Solomon's palace and his people. Everything that you're doing is significant. Creativity, excellence, and integrity will bring you before kings and queens, and they will influence your level, or they will increase the level of your influence. So what's the point of this message? What if we let beauty be our witness to the world? What if instead of having to go to people and say, you know, let me tell you about Jesus, and I believe there's a place for that. But what if creativity became our witness to the world? What if our excellence became our witness to the world? What if our integrity became our witness to the world? One of my favorite stories is about a painter, an artist in South America. And she was known. She started painting these beautiful murals, these beautiful pieces of art. And eventually she was known throughout the country. And one prisoner guard said, I love your art so much. I think it's so excellent and so creative. I want you to paint something in our jail cell for all the prisoners to see. You know, because they're kind of tense and angry, right? And so they bring this painter into this prison. And this painter just paints this beautiful door. Like, it's just a door. But it's painted so creatively and so excellently. And so she paints this beautiful door and she just leaves. A few months later, the prison guard calls, says, something's happened. For some reason, in the last few months, people who have been walking by your painting just started falling to their knees and crying. And the chaplain on site was able to lead dozens of people, of prisoners, of murderers, of rapists, to Jesus Christ because of a painting of a door. There was no big Jesus painted over that door. There was not even a cross painted. The simple sheer beauty of what she created and the integrity that she painted it behind her, that led people into a revelation of Jesus. I'm here to tell you, whether you're a doctor or you're in the startup industry or you're a teacher or you're a mother or a father, whatever you're doing, whether you're an artist or a musician, you can lead people into the revelation of Jesus just by creating something that is truly beautiful. Through excellence, creativity, and integrity, you can lead people into a revelation of who Jesus is. I want to end with this story. 1,000 years ago, Prince Vladimir the Great was looking for a new religion to unify the Russian people. And so he sent envoys to investigate the great religions of the world. When the envoys returned, some group said, yeah, this religion was beautiful, but it had no substance. Others said, this religion was dour. Others said, this religion was abstract and theoretical, but nothing in practice. But the envoys who had investigated Christianity in the Byzantine capital of Constantinople reported finding a faith characterized by such transcendent beauty that they didn't know if they were on heaven or on earth. And this is the report. It says, then we went to Constantinople, and they led us to the place where they worshiped their God. And we knew not whether we were in heaven or on earth, for on earth there is no such vision or beauty. And we do not know how to describe it. We only know that God dwells among men. We cannot forget that beauty. just by entering the place where people, they didn't even see people worship. They just entered the place where people worship. They couldn't tell if they were on heaven or on earth. Beauty has the power to transform the world. Do you believe that? God is calling you to cultivate beauty through creativity, excellence, and integrity. And so if we could have the worship team come back up, I believe God is giving you a renewed sense of your mission. What I sense today is some of you have been feeling shame because you aren't able to go out onto the streets every day and proclaim Jesus is King. Or some of you, your work environment is so hostile that even the mention of Jesus cuts you off from your community. And some of you have been feeling shame that I haven't been evangelizing. I haven't been fulfilling my mission. But I believe God is saying, no, son. No, daughter. You don't have to profess my name to reach the world. Just craft beauty in what you do. Be absolutely creative where I've placed you. Be absolutely excellent in where I've placed you. And have complete integrity through it all. And I will place you before kings and queens. I will give you the power to influence the world. Through your excellence, through your creativity, through your integrity, I will release a revelation of who I am to the world that does not know me. Do you know how beautiful he is? What if people would just see a glimpse of the beauty that we see in Jesus? What if people would just see a glimpse? And what if we're that key for people to seeing the beauty of Jesus? I believe it's possible in our time. I believe it's time for the church to take up the mantle and once again be the influencers that God has called us to be. Not just saying the right message, but saying it right. Saying in a way where the world can hear and see and understand the beauty of God. Why don't we close our eyes right now? I believe God is releasing a new level of creativity, a new level of excellence, and a new level of integrity in your life. He's breaking off the shame right now. You don't have to be ashamed that you didn't get on top of your desk in your office and say, Jesus is Lord. You don't have to be ashamed that you didn't talk to your coworker the other week who absolutely hates Christians. God is saying your witness can be your creativity. Your witness can be your excellence. Your witness can be your integrity. God, would you release that grace for excellence, creativity, and integrity in every son and daughter, that whatever realm that you've called them to reign in, that they would express and show the beauty of Christ. This is the mission. Come on. I just sense there are authors in here. I just sense there are authors who are going to write books that change the world. I just sense there are teachers in here that even this week, you're going to start getting new, creative, innovative ideas on how to reach your students. Man, I believe there's people in startups, people who are called to be business leaders, where God is right now giving you the innovative designs to introduce something new and exciting to the world. I believe whatever realm you're in, God is giving you the authority to reign. Lord, would you release that grace right now? Would you release that grace right now? That every son and daughter in here would be able to express the beauty of God. We take up our mantle to influence the world right now. Yeah. And the last thing I feel like the Lord is saying is, I've made you beautiful. What you do can never surpass the beauty of who you are. He's saying, I have made you the greatest splendor in all the earth. The earth is groaning and waiting for the splendor and the beauty of the sons of God to be revealed. I believe God is telling you, he has made you beautiful. He has turned ashes into beauty. I pray that you would clothe every son and daughter here with the identity that they are beautiful. That even who they are surpasses what they do. And we thank you, God. We pray, Lord, that we would take this revelation, this truth, and we would apply it in such a way where it makes a transforming and lasting impact in the world. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys.